The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Friday, August 7th, and nice day out there today for you. Waking up, you'll also be listening to us, by the way, on WSBR 88.1 in Lee Lennox and Stockbridge, watching us on the PCTV Select app, and maybe on Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. We have a great show for you this morning. We have Laura Brennan. She is the Executive Director of the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. And you may not know as much about the BRPC as you think you know, and we're going to prove that this morning in the interview. Just speaking with Laura right here before we went on the air, I probably learned another 15 things about the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, and it's going to be a fun program to listen to all the things that they do. You probably do not know all the things that they're involved with. So listening to that this morning will be a great thing. I hope you stick around and listen to the whole program. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Patchy fog. Near steady temperature in the upper 60s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Hot with highs in the mid 80s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Scattered showers. Patchy fog after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, as I mentioned yesterday, we are kind of in that pattern right now of the hot days and kind of rainy evenings. We'll see how that kind of works out there. Let's see. We're missing some cameras there. There we go. We'll get some wide shots for you and figure this out. All right. Morning Drive returns here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And let's see. Do we have Laura shot there? There it is. Good morning, Laura Brennan. Thanks for being here this morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for inviting me in.
So, Executive Director of the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. And first of all, before we get into the commission, because there's going to be so much to talk about there, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been with the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission and how you kind of came to this position, what your history is. Tell us that.
Sure. So I have only been the executive director for 3 months and a few days, I guess.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. The director before me was there for 29 years. He had served as both the assistant director and the executive director. I was lucky enough to be able to shadow him for several years before I stepped into the role, and also lucky that he agreed to extend his retirement out a little bit so I didn't have to start on April Fool's Day. I got to start on May 1st instead of April 1st. And it's been wonderful. I love working for BRPC. I think that although a lot of people do not know the breadth of what we do, we have often a very quiet impact, but a really meaningful one. Mm-hmm. And so that makes me very proud. I've been with BRPC for nearly 9 years myself. I was mostly in economic development planning, and that opened my eyes to all of the different facets of BRPC work. And we have, people will probably be surprised to hear that we have 50 employees at this point. We were about half the size when I started working there, quite a while ago. But we've grown, we've expanded, we've become much more entrepreneurial in the way that we look at funding opportunities and ways to serve the community. So it's great.
So give us an overview of sort of like what a regional planning organization does as sort of a base level, how it started, because it sounds like the idea of regional planning commissions in throughout the state started sometime in the 50s.
And into the 60s. So mm-hmm. we were established, actually, this is our 60th anniversary serving the county. So our anniversary date was May 9th. And we are 60 years old now, and regional planning agencies are established by legislation. So we are one of 13 in the Commonwealth. And there are some core services that pretty much any regional planning agency provides. And I think it's probably what people would think about as the traditional mm-hmm. disciplines of land use work and zoning work and things like that.
Because zoning as a concept was really kind of a 20th century thing, right? We didn't have zoning when the America was just the 13 colonies.
Absolutely. It's something that evolves constantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are watching, and I know a lot of folks throughout the communities are watching as zoning evolves, and the state has impact on that, but so do we at the local level. So it's important, and it impacts us all the time in ways that we don't necessarily notice, but it's part of your experiences as a resident. So those are sort of embedded in planning work. And then also transportation planning. We serve as the MPO or Metropolitan Planning Organization for transportation in the region. We work very closely with MassDOT and help to determine the prioritization of investments in repairs and, you know, addressing safety issues on MassDOT owned roads.
That alone is
That's
a very
a
big deal, right?
Yeah. Because there's never enough to do what needs to be done. And so it's a prioritization process.
So that process has to start somewhere. And when the shovel goes in the road and they start fixing the road, that process had started months or years before.
Often years.
Deciding which roads needed the help the most, right? And going on the TIP or the transportation improvement.
That's exactly right. So you
something.
Know a lot more than you admit.
A little bit. But that's part of the process. So none of this happens without that level of planning first.
That's exactly right. And actually, that's a great prompt for me to share that, you know, the zoning is also very often impactful in ways that we don't realize, again, quietly. So people are likely aware that the Eagle Mill apartments in Lee just had a ribbon cutting earlier this week.
In the newspaper yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Really wonderful project. Long time coming, 14 years since it really was, started. And that would not have been able to make any progress after the first year or two or three without zoning changes that were agreed to by residents in the town of Lee and worked on by the members of the planning board and supported by BRPC. So the 40R layer that they added into their zoning in Lee permitted that project to move forward. We were also involved in terms of providing brownfields assessment and cleanup funds so that property could be redeveloped and safe for housing purposes. But it's the kind of thing that we work on all the time. But, it's somewhat behind the scenes, and that's okay. But it's also nice when people realize that it's multifaceted and a complex project like that does involve a wide range of partners, including BRPC.
And without that work, it's very difficult to take an old property like a mill, which we had plenty of those here in Berkshire County, right? Being kind of a mill area, that's the way the Industrial Revolution ran through the Berkshires. Right? We had a lot of rivers and streams, and that could provide power, and the power drove the paper mills and the cotton mills and everything else. And then at some point, time marches on, and we don't need those anymore. So what do with them? But you can't necessarily just say, okay, we'll turn it into housing. That sounds great. Yeah. But then how do you do that? What are the steps to getting from point A to point B?
You do not flip a switch, that's for sure.
And 14 years on that
14
project.
14 years. And
is that common that something would take that long, or is that a little bit excessive? Every project's probably very unique.
They are unique. And it was there was an interesting point made during the ribbon cutting that I thought was important to keep in mind, which is that, yes, it took 14 years, but many projects never make it past the first few. And so the ones that take 14 years are the ones that proved their worth and people kept at it and made sure that it came to fruition. And it didn't fall by the wayside. It didn't fizzle. It is now a reality. And so I don't think 14 years, given the complexity of a project like that, is anything to look down on. I think it's something to celebrate that we had the perseverance to keep at it for until it became real.
So many moving parts there too, right? And aside from just the fact that, you know, you mentioned brownfields, and but there's ownership, and there's, you know, how long will an owner stay involved with the project, seeing that, you know, If you had told them 14 years ago that it was going to take that long to get it, maybe they would have said they would have moved on. But someone stayed and said, no, we're going to commit to this. And so that's a great win.
It is a great win. And it became a much larger partnership than I think that the original investor ever imagined. And it you know, involved historic tax credits, involved investments from the state, recognizing well before we started talking about housing as a crisis in the Commonwealth, the state was already at the table investing in that project. So I think that is also something to be grateful for.
And, you know, thinking about planning in general and saying, okay, what is it that the area needs the most, right? And we think about the former industrial sites that we have throughout Berkshire County, the William Stanley Business Park being one of them, you know, certainly the Eagle Mill. And you start to say, okay, what does the place need the most? Does it need another, you know, factory or company that can provide X number of jobs for the community? Or does it really need housing? And how are those decisions made? Those are all planning decisions, right?
They are. And I think the short answer is none without the other. It's yes, we absolutely need to look at our housing mix. And in an area like ours, I try to encourage the conversation to include rehabilitation of existing housing. We have a lot of homes that are in need of care and attention. We don't necessarily need all that many more units, although we're doing pretty well in increasing the number of available units to meet the goals of the state's housing plan. But we also need to look at the complexity of that and look at housing at all levels, I'll say, whether that be levels for income versus levels for age and family size. So that's a complicated story, but it also is tied to job creation and diversification of our economy. So we were extremely reliant on a few very large employers for a very long time. And
we're a company town, right?
For
we had a
sure.
few company towns.
Yeah,
we had Sprague Electric in North Adams. We had GE in Pittsfield. We had the mills in Lee. You know, every place I think had its company, but there's a risk to that too,
there's
right?
A
when
huge
you don't have a diverse
to,
employer base.
Yeah, exactly. And counting on that to never shift or change or even disappear.
Actually, the miracle was that they lasted so long, if you really think about it, right?
Probably.
That GE was a force in Pittsfield from, you know, the early 19-teens through 1991. Just the fact that you had that legacy and you had that stability was really unusual.
Yes. And I had grown up in the Albany region and watched GE have a similar impact in Schenectady and other parts. And so when I got to the Berkshires, which was about 20 years ago, I guess the way that people talked about GE's departure, I would have assumed it had happened a year or two prior.
Right.
The wound was still so raw.
Deep and bitter.
And yes, exactly. And I have seen such an evolution of people's willingness to think differently, to understand that, you know, replace it, plugging that hole with some other enormous and detached employer might not be the wisest goal. And having a more diverse set of smaller firms who maybe put down roots here, who build a loyalty to the region, could be a bit more stable, a bit more resilient to the kinds of things that we don't know might be coming our way.
Right, and following the sort of trends in the things that are in, make up a more modern economy, advanced manufacturing, for example, things like that that seem to be coming into our area, that's important. Creative economy,
yes,
that seems to be important. And this kind of ties in, by the way, we're speaking with Laura Brennan this morning. She's the Executive Director of Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. This kind of feeds into the Berkshire Blueprint, which is a project of the BRPC, right?
Of so, One Berkshire.
One Berkshire.
Yeah.
And you're involved with it, though.
We are. We're partners with that. It's very interesting. So One Berkshire is the shepherd of the Berkshire Blueprint and more recently Blueprint 2.0. And we at BRPC, as the shepherds of the Economic Development District, which is Berkshire County and is designated by the federal government, we have a similar sort of planning process that's called the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy for Berkshire County. And so as a former employee of One Berkshire, I knew how
very
important.
Handy
it is
yes.
quite handy to know, you know, sort of the inner workings of how they think about economic development and their role as the state designated regional economic development organization. It's always been my approach to be essentially joined at the hip with their economic development staff, who are wonderful, and make sure that, you know, the work that we're doing is not just parallel, but intertwined. And so I have, you know, representation from One Berkshire on the SEDS committee. And, you know, we in turn support the blueprint process. And the two are distinct. And I think we've done a really great job of making sure the two processes are not redundant or stepping on each other's toes. It's really that, you know, when we pair them together, we've got a really holistic look at economic development in the region.
It seems like a lot of that, the core of that is data, though, right?
Yes.
It's pulling together, you know, the old saying, if you can't measure it, you can't fix the problem. So you have
or
to
you
have,
don't know what the problem really is.
May not even know, right?
Yeah.
And so where does that data come from? How is that aggregated? How is that pulled together? How do we know the type of statistics that go into making such a document and a project possible? And
great
what does it
question.
Tell us also?
Yeah. Well, oftentimes it is fine-tuning our understanding that we develop by anecdotal experience or, you know, I think it's really important for us to look at the data and the trends in data to prevent ourselves and to caution ourselves away from just wallowing in whatever narrative has been around for a while. And I have found frequently that, you know, unearthing the data and the way that the data has shifted over time helps to course correct the way that we talk about our region and what we're really experiencing, what the real concerns are. The things that I tend to look at are unemployment rate, per capita income, median household income. Those are the core foundational criteria that we look at when we're trying to measure economic distress or success. And there, of course, are lots of other data points. BRPC manages a website called Berkshire Benchmarks, and it's available to anyone who would like to better understand what the real numbers are, either at the county level or town by town. And so that's berkshirebenchmarks.org. That is fed by U.S. Census data, American Community Survey data, and other reliable perennial sources that we can pull into Berkshire Benchmarks and then demonstrate how things have changed or perhaps stayed level over time. So I recommend that website to anybody who would like to have a better, more firm understanding of where we're at on a whole range of criteria.
So people may not even know that that is out there and is available to them. Again, it's berkshirebenchmarks.org.
That's right.
So check that out for
sure.
And so does that also inform, let's say, a school district to decide whether to build a new school or to close a school. I mean, that's something that was in the newspaper this past winter and spring when Pittsfield was deciding on Morningside School. When they look at the trends, they look at the data, and they say, how many schools will we need going forward? What is our population density going to look like? Are all those things informed by this kind of data?
How it has been trending? We certainly hope so. And in fact, we've just recently engaged with the Northern Berkshire sustainability study process to provide data and analysis of the data to help that group, you know, sort of look at what would be the most sensible thing to do moving forward in the Northern Berkshires. So, yeah, we are often involved with school districts. Certainly, that kind of data is also critical for our service providing nonprofits. And it's, you know, if you are seeking grants to support your work, one of the best ways to be convincing with a funder is to use real data to make sure that you are demonstrating that you have a clear understanding of the population that you're serving. And so benchmarks can be really helpful with that. And then we also have an initiative called Berkshire Funding Focus, which in addition to connecting you with data, will also help you vet funding opportunities, maybe form some partnerships to be more competitive, and then go after grant dollars to support the work that, you may be doing for the Berkshires.
So how can nonprofit organizations utilize the Berkshire Funding Focus? Talk a little bit more about that.
Sure, yeah. So we established this in partnership with several other entities in the region several years ago. It was prompted essentially by the pandemic relief dollars that were flowing at the time, ARPA and other kinds of programs. And I think at first we envisioned it to be a temporary response and way to make sure that our region didn't lose out on funds that it didn't need to miss out on. But it was very clear very quickly that grant seekers in our region were under-resourced. They had not built up the capacity to really make confident decisions around which grants to go after and what it was going to look like to have to manage those grants if they were successful.
Because a lot of nonprofit organizations in this area are small shops, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
They're under-resourced themselves. So
right.
The number of people they have to be able to manage, anyone who's ever gone after a grant knows that there's a lot of strings attached and there are a lot of things that you have to do to satisfy the grant funder. You know, it means a lot more work in some ways. And sometimes the organizations don't have the people to follow up and do that work.
Yeah, you have to know what you're getting into. And sometimes it's a matter of finding the right partners to go after a grant opportunity together. And that can make you more competitive with a funder if you've shown that you already have collaboration built and that you're ready to be more than just a silo, you know, doling out the funding that they've provided, but that it's really going to be integrated into in a community-minded way. So we have been with Berkshire Funding Focus helping to build capacity. Certainly extremely successful in assisting with grant applications. The community impact to date for Berkshire Funding Focus efforts has been $45 for every $1 invested in Berkshire Funding Focus's work.
That sounds like a pretty good return to me.
Incredible return. we're just getting started. We're about to launch Berkshire Funding Focus 2.0. We need to make sure that we're able to deploy more specialized services if people need help with, you know, creating their budget, being responsive to specific terms and conditions, writing the narrative. There's so many components to grant seeking, and we want to be supportive of that. And it's a great way for us. So, you know, I could step back and just mention that BRPC is nearly entirely grant funded. So we have this year $8.4 million budget, and 98% of that is coming from grants and contracts that we've, you know, that are very specific work and that are going to require us to be great at compliance and reporting.
Right. So that's something that you're intimately aware of also.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And that continues the work to be able to do. So what are the status of some of those grants that you're interfacing with? Those look pretty stable. What's the environment like right now for that?
Again, it's all about diversification.
Yeah.
Right. So in the most recent fiscal year that we have our final audits ready, we had about 40% federal funding across several different programs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, all brownfields funding or all any particular thing. And then the remainder was a mix of state funding and then contracts with local municipalities or local nonprofits. So we, so far, have done well in remaining stable. But just like anyone who is experiencing federal funding, environment, we've had some scares around cancellations or changes in terms.
Uncertainty. I would imagine.
It's a volatile world right now.
Yeah.
So that experience helps us to be able to support others who are seeking grant dollars. Mm-hmm. And I should point out that Berkshire Funding Focus serves not just nonprofits, but also municipalities and small businesses and schools. So pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And so you, as a small business, it can be very difficult and mysterious to get into the grant world.
Absolutely.
A bit intimidating for really anyone who is unfamiliar with it. So that is meant to help you get acclimated and to build your capacity to go after grants independently in the future.
So if a nonprofit or a small business or a municipality isn't aware of the Berkshire Funding Focus program that's run by the BRPC, what's the best way for them to find out more, get involved, and sort of get in that mechanism?
Yeah, I would start by going to the website. It's berkshirefundingfocus.org. And we have a weekly e-newsletter that shares timely and likely appealing grant opportunities with you. It comes out every Monday morning. And so that's a great way to just sort of keep tabs on what's coming out. But that website is constantly being populated with new opportunities, and you can use the filters to say, all right, I'm coming at this from the perspective of a school teacher, and I am looking for such and such type of grant, and then you can narrow your search using those filters.
Right, because not every grant is general purpose, there's
very
specific things.
Exactly. That's one of the challenges, is that funders have very specific priorities and intentions, rightly so, with the investments that they make, and you have to be very attentive and in line with that.
Yeah. Laura Brennan is my guest here this morning. She is the Executive Director of Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Just a couple minutes here before the top of the hour break that we have. One of the things, as I was looking through some of your documentation that we just chatted about earlier, was sort of the makeup of the sort of governing board and the advisory board that keeps the BRPC running. And it's actually made up of the 32 community planning boards, right? And the representation there. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's a very interesting thing. So maybe explain just a little bit of that before we go to break.
Sure. So, yes, the way that we are established through legislation and were established, decades ago, is that our policy body is made up of one representative from every planning board, or in the cases of the two cities, the community development board, from every community in the Berkshires. So I essentially have a board of directors of 32 people. Those are the delegates to the commission, and they each can also have an alternate, which is great, so that their community is represented if they aren't able to attend a meeting. And so that is sort of our governance model. It's very akin to a nonprofit environment, although we are a public body, and so everything is open meeting.
Right.
And
as a matter of fact, those meetings are carried on PCTV.
And we appreciate it.
So we can, yes. If you're interested to see how those run, you can check out pittsfieldtv.org and watch any of the BRPC's meetings.
Yes. Yeah. And we have an executive committee, which is no more than 9 members drawn from that larger group. And they're my bosses. Mm-hmm. And then we have a staff, I think I probably mentioned, of about 50 people. And that's larger than people expect. We've grown quite a bit over the last several years. We're involved in lots of different types of planning work. And
give us a bit of an overview, because you had mentioned health services and things like that also as part of that mixture of things.
Sure. One of the things that is not always the case with regional planning agencies is that we have a very large team of public health staff. Mm. And in fact, recently it's grown so large that we split it into two distinct departments. So we have public health planning and public health services. And so the planning side does a lot of the work around what you would typically expect with nursing services, vaccination clinics, substance use prevention and mitigation. And then the public health services side does a lot of education and also inspectional services, so health inspections for restaurants and other facilities. Mm. So.
Just amazing, and this is why I wanted to have you on the show today, because there's so much to talk about, and we could do an entire show on just each one of those.
Each program area.
Maybe we will, but we're reaching that top of the hour break now, so let's do that. We've got lots more to talk about with Laura Brennan here on Morning Drive. We're going to be talking about the Home Modification Loan Program. We really want to get into that, especially considering we talked about sort of housing as an economic development, portion and, component of our economy, and also going to be talking about Building the Berkshires and Berkshires Outside. So if you're not familiar with those programs, stick around for the second half of the show, and we will educate you. Laura Brennan, just stick around. We'll be right back after this message and a series of messages here at the top of the hour on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. More than just a place to shop, each month meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. The market has fresh, local, and seasonal produce, meat, eggs, cheese, baked goods, flowers, artisan goods, and most of all, community. Join us once a month, every second Saturday, starting November 8th through April 11th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Zion Church.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTVR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Driving to All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you live and local this morning in our studio, and it's August 7th, a Friday, waking up. And on my way in, there was some fog, especially when I drove up to the top of like Crane Ave and Benedict Road, right near the GEAA and the Berkshire Hills Country Club. That's always kind of a magical place to drive through in the morning if you've got that fog, because you're looking over into the valley, and it's just really, really beautiful. I think that's burned off for the most part now, though, and you're going to have kind of a hot day today. I know it was starting out around 70 when I drove in. It looks like 71 now. We're going to be hitting a high of around 90 today, and then some possibility of showers and things later on today. We'll get that full weather forecast in just a second here. Laura Brennan, my guest this morning. If you're just tuning in, she is the executive director of the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, and got lots more to talk about with Laura. Right after this, here we go from the National Weather Service. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Patchy fog. Near steady temperature in the upper 60s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Scattered showers. Patchy fog after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. And we will have some more hot weather, I think, on Saturday from what I heard. And then I was hearing Sunday was just going to be sunny. Maybe not that chance of showers, but don't listen to me. I'm not a weatherman. I usually get it wrong when I try to do that. And you know, you're only 50% right most of the time anyway. So, you know, what do they say in the Berkshires? If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. And that's probably the best thing you can do. All right, Morning Drive returns here. Laura Brennan, thanks again for being here and talking with us this morning about the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, so much to talk about. We will not cover it all in 1 hour, and we'll definitely have you back and talk more about some of the programs in detail. One of the things that BRPC does, something called the Home Modification Loan Program, or the HMLP. Tell us what that is and how people can take advantage of it.
Sure. This is one of our points of pride, especially over the last couple of years, because we've been able to get the word out about it more and more people have been able to take advantage of it. And it ties to what we were talking about earlier in terms of the Berkshire region having a lot of housing that needs attention, needs a rehabilitation.
Mm. Very old housing stock.
Old housing stock. Yeah. Yep. Beautiful housing stock. But obviously, you know, if the maintenance is deferred, it can become an issue. This program is specifically for situations where a modification would allow somebody to live more safely in their home, longer in their home. Mm. And that could mean a ramp to accommodate a wheelchair. It could be a lift in interior stairs. Mm-hmm. It can be air conditioning for someone who has a respiratory condition.
Okay.
And so there are lots and lots of ways that this program can be used. It has a quite generous income restriction threshold. So while you may jump to the conclusion that, oh, I probably, you know, my income's probably too high to qualify for that, my suggestion is check it out, because you very well may be pleasantly surprised. Mm. We have seen a lot of people use this to assist their parents in being able to stay in place, or assist with a family member with who's experiencing a disability be safer. It can be for paving a driveway so that assistive devices can, you know, go over what was formerly gravel or dirt. So lots of different ways to use this. And I would encourage people to look at our website and you can just search for the terms home modification loan program and you'll find that. And we have some amazing staff who are the liaisons for this and really walk you through the whole process of providing the documentation that you might need and then getting it done and, you know, assisting with hiring the contractors and all of it. So
there's so many components to making housing a priority, right? And we've talked about how it's tied to economic development, because if you don't have good, adequate housing in a community, it's hard to attract employers. right?
Employees,
and,
yeah.
And employees, yeah. Right? Because you need employees for employers. Yep. You need to have all those things tied together. The schools, you know, feed into it. There's a lot of moving parts. But so this is one small component of the housing issue, the housing question and the crisis that we've had, which is if you've got older housing stock and you need people to stay there, if that's their best solution, if that works the best to keep them there. And it's probably, in a lot of ways, the most economical solution also to modify someone's home to make it more accommodating for them.
Right. It often can be far more economical and allows for independence, because oftentimes the situations that we're seeing have nothing to do with somebody aging in place, but simply needing accommodations to allow them to live more independently. So it's a really great program.
Yeah. I would imagine, too, it helps with the sort of value of houses, too. And, you know, you can see sort of decay of housing throughout not just Berkshire County. This is, you know, a state and a national issue where I think of a place like Detroit, for example, where they've kind of had a bit of a renaissance. With a lot of the housing that was needed during the heyday of, you know, building cars, and suddenly it's like, oh, nobody lives there anymore, so the houses just deteriorate.
Yeah.
And then you have blight, and then you have all the other problems that come along with that. So the reinvestment in housing is probably just as important.
That's right. And we also work with several communities on sort of a rotating basis to do more exterior housing rehabilitation using CDBG funds that come ultimately from HUD. And that is, you know, the envelope of the building, the roof, the, you know, just stability of the outside of the building. And that is, again, something that we're very proud to be a part of. We'd love to do more. But most communities in the Berkshires are not entitlement communities, meaning that they have to compete for CDBG funding, and it's part of a nationwide system. So
yeah, CDBG being a federal program,
right?
Not a state program.
Right.
And that's another thing, is that there are so many different mechanisms and, you know, areas that you have to know, like how do you deal with the federal side? How do you deal with the state side? What other funding sources can come and you know, be applied to some of these needs?
Right. How can you combine them? How can you pair them, state and federal? Because oftentimes some sort of match is required. And so, yeah, it's quite a lot to navigate, but that's the work. It's, Yeah. So
let's talk about Build in the Berkshires. That's another program that is hosted by Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. And I know nothing about this, so you're going to teach me everything about Build in the Berkshires.
Sure.
What is it set out to do? What were the needs that sort of made this program possible, and how does it work?
Yeah. Well, fair enough that you don't know, because we just finished, and I shouldn't say finished, because it will be a living, moving document, moving website, I should say. So Build in the Berkshires is a new website that we have built over the last year. And what it does is highlight priority locations for redevelopment. We are hoping to make it easy for developers to identify locations for investment. And we did something similar a little over a decade ago. And at the time, the focus was entirely on commercial and industrial opportunities. This time around, we included multifamily housing locations. And so the idea is to, what we did was work with each community to ask them what their priority locations were that they wanted to draw investment towards, usually for redevelopment of existing places where, you know, it might be a former mill, it might be something that is just underutilized and large enough for either manufacturing, industrial, commercial use, or multifamily housing.
Could be an old school or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Example.
Certainly. And put all of those locations, there's about 300 of them countywide.
Wow.
Onto this website, which is searchable by zoning type, by municipality, by acreage, by, you know, what's the extant buildings, what the square footage might be, and guarantee there's something for everybody if you're interested in investment, or if, you know, if you're a developer looking to be a part of what's happening in the Berkshires. And so this has just been launched. It's somewhat of a soft launch, and we're looking for people to provide feedback to this. The URL for this is a bit difficult because we built it using a specialized program. So what I would suggest is going to berkshireplanning.org and scrolling down on the homepage until you find the Build in the Berkshires icon, and you can just click on that to find it. But it's really fun to be able to search and look, get the bird's eye view of these different locations where investment could occur, and either redevelopment or new development would be welcome.
So a lot of the information for this came from the individual member towns in the Berkshires.
Right.
And would that come from a planning board and things like that? How do you draw that information?
Oftentimes it was, or with, in conversation with town planners or town managers, town administrators. What we did first was go through a much, much longer list of potential locations and then sort of hone in on those places where we weren't dealing with difficulties around wetlands or slope or where perhaps investment was already occurring and we didn't need to promote that location. And we kept narrowing and narrowing. And then, you know, the narrow point in the funnel was where we then sent lists out to all the communities and invited them to talk with us about, you know, which of these would you really want to make sure are displayed on this website. And of course, over time, things will change, investment will occur, and we'll need to remove certain spots from the list, and then we can replace them with others. But it's a great comprehensive way to show off to investors what they can access in the Berkshires.
So it's almost like sending up a flare in some ways, right? And attracting development. And so what kinds of things do potential developers look for when it comes to, you know, identifying a property and then having that idea and saying, I bet we could put X, Y, and Z there. I'll bet that is a good place for multifamily housing. I wonder if we could put an office building there or, you know, or advanced manufacturing, or maybe their developer has connections with companies that could potentially want to do something and then looks at that list of 300 properties and says, huh, how about this? This looks interesting.
Usually I would say developers, in my experience, have some sort of specialty. They're either housing focused or they're commercial space. I mean, some of them certainly do a lot of mixed use development, but they may not have a particular client in mind. They may be looking to take advantage of a specific incentive program and do so before that program expires or is oversubscribed. And so, you know, we want to make it as easy as possible. This is not, however, a replacement for, you know, strong conversations and relationship building with local officials and with, you know, if there is a need for looking at the specific zoning for a parcel, if the community is open to expanding what's allowed at a particular site, then that's going to be up to the developer to work with the local officials to do so. But
and that's probably really key there too, right, is what the community is willing to, how flexible they're willing to be to cite something in a particular area. And we see that time and time again. You know, in Dalton, there was a situation where they were trying to put a new police station in somewhere, and it was town-owned property, but the people that lived around said, well, we don't want the police station there. And so suddenly it's like, oh, okay, well, that's off the table, right? In Lenox, you know, multifamily housing was an issue, and where is that going to go? Is it going to go in, you know, historic downtown? Well, they don't want that there. And that raises all kinds of different issues too, right? And it, sometimes those issues can kind of pull apart a community in terms of their priorities. And some people feel one way, some people feel another way. It really kind of uncovers the differences in some ways.
Yeah, perspectives, for sure. And, you know, it's good to note that no zoning change, no matter how seemingly innocuous, is going to happen without it going in front of a town meeting, right? So it's not anything that happens without the opportunity, at least, to weigh in on.
You have to put the spark out there, right?
And I think that was an important, a really important factor in what we built when we created the Build in the Berkshires website, is we're not putting locations out there that are not suitable for development. We're making sure that these sites are already They've been given the nod by local officials that this is someplace where we would welcome investment and where it would be appropriate. And in doing so, we're steering developers from just looking at everything with, you know, sort of an equal measure and actually honing in on those locations where their work would be welcome and their investment would be welcome.
I mean, some communities are just dying for that investment and knowing that, why is it we never get anything here? And then there are plenty of communities that are like, okay, that's enough.
And that's okay, too. Yeah. I mean, there are communities that have zero locations on the Build in the Berkshires website, and that's because right now they don't have any sites that they're looking to draw that type of investment to, and that's perfectly fine.
So again, if you're looking for that site and you're looking for the properties we're talking about there, you can go to the berkshireplanning.org website and then search for the Build in the Berkshires link, and that's the easiest way to to get to that.
Yes.
Laura Brennan, my guest here this morning, if you're just tuning into the program, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Laura is the Executive Director of the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. We're talking about a select few of the programs that they manage and house in a very large organization that you may not know much about. Hopefully you're hearing more about it this morning. One of the things I want to talk about is a new initiative, right? A fairly new initiative, Berkshire's Outside.
Yes, so, one of my personal favorites.
And and again, I think this goes to the fact that the Berkshires has some really wonderful natural resources and assets.
Yes.
And so many times, I think we found this out during the pandemic, where people didn't want to be in the cities anymore. They wanted to go somewhere, and they said, where can I be where, you know, the outdoors is beautiful, where I have an opportunity to sort of interface with the natural world, hiking, fishing, swimming, boating. And, you know, the Berkshires was so close to a lot of people, and they said, you know what, why don't we just move there and work remotely, right? Remember those days?
Yeah.
I think work remotely has maybe been pulled back a little bit from the pandemic days, but still the outlasting impression was that the Berkshires is a great place to be outdoors.
Yes, and we've all known that, of course, for a very long time, and it's part of why we have such a successful tourism industry here. It's part of why people choose to move here. And it comes with some challenges, and one of those is that certain outdoor recreation sites get overused. We have
Give us an example of that. What are you thinking?
So a good example, I think, would be, of course, now I'm going to blank on your way down to Great Barrington on the right-hand side. What is the...
You got me.
Yeah. I always use this as my example, and clearly I'm not all the way through
That's
my second
right.
cup
yes,
of coffee. There are a handful of locations that get a lot of foot traffic.
Okay.
And they're the ones that the front desk staff at the hotels recommend, that the restaurant servers recommend to folks from out of town, and because they're either easy to find or they're just, you know, they have a great payoff in terms of the view at the top and Monument Mountain.
Oh, of course.
Shout out to Kevin Pink
there
for being the other half of my brain. Monument Mountain.
And I think of the top of Mount Greylock, for example. You know, a trip up Rockwell Road.
Yeah. And we don't want to discourage people from, you know, getting the experience of those beautiful places.
Yep.
But there are also a lot of hidden gems. So one of the ideas behind Berkshire's Outside, the website for which is berkshiresoutside.org, is to present a very comprehensive list of all of the outdoor recreation access points in Berkshire County. And right now, so this is a database-fed website, but a really great interface for people who are looking for new places to explore. Right now, we have nearly 600 different access points displayed on the website.
So there's things like trailheads, for example.
Trailheads, boat launches, or locations where you can do all kinds of other outdoor recreation activity. I mean, we have been really comprehensive in the types of outdoor rec activities that we list. And so we've got cycling, camping, fishing, hunting, playgrounds, mm-hmm. snowmobiling, swimming, everything that you can imagine. And you can filter through the website to just narrow your search for the types of activities you're interested in doing. And, you know, you can look at filters for things like, are they family friendly? Mm-hmm. Is there potable water? Is mm-hmm. it dog friendly? All kinds of different yep. filters are available on Berkshire's Outside. We launched this a little over 2 years ago, and it has been extremely well received by the people who are using it. But we also, the funding that we had to build the site was for building the site and not necessarily promoting the site. So mm-hmm. it's also not super well known. Mm-hmm. I want to point out that you can go to the URL on your smartphone and then essentially save it as if it's an app. And I do that because you can sort of locate yourself on the map and then use the app to follow yourself on the trail make sure you're where you're supposed to be if you're out on the trail. I've done that a few times.
So again, berkshireisoutside.org, berkshireisoutside.org for those radio listeners. Yeah. Don't do that while you're driving. If you happen to be driving, please pull over and then bookmark it in your phone somewhere. But sounds great. And it's, again, a resource where I bet a lot of people, when they look at this, they're going to find a site that is almost practically in their backyard
yes.
that they weren't even aware of that people use for outdoor recreation.
That I think
Pittsfield State
yet.
Forest is another gem, right?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. But, you know, in talking with people, a lot of times people aren't super familiar with Pittsfield State
right.
Forest. And there's lots of levels of difficulty, mm-hmm. lots of views, lots of different experiences. You can go there every day of the week and do a different trail and have a different experience. Yeah.
Like you get up to the top of where Berry Pond is there
yeah.
and the outlook, just tremendous. I mean, if you haven't done it, do it, you know, but this is probably a great way to find some of those spots.
Yes. Go to berkshires.org to learn about it first. If you are interested in using the app to track your progress on a trail, my recommendation is to turn on that setting before you leave home, because there's not always the level of cell service that you might need to locate yourself on the map once you get to the trailhead. So
I just returned from a trip from California up in the Eastern Sierras, where that is, you know, again, our default these days is to reach for the phone,
yeah.
is to reach for the internet resources and to say, where am I and get me from here to there. And you get to a place like that, for example, and the Berkshires are similar to that in some areas. And you just realize that, oh, I'm off the grid.
Yeah.
Now I got to survive.
Oops.
You know, I got to I got to figure this out for myself. But yeah, probably a good idea to have that in advance.
Yeah. And we have lots of information on the website about what to expect when you get there, the kinds of things you need to be aware of if you're headed outdoors. It is meant for seasoned outdoor enthusiasts, but also for people who are less familiar with, mm-hmm. you know, what you're going to encounter. And so we have lots of tips and recommendations around safety. Mm. And we also have lists of resources. So if you need better gear, or if you need to rent some gear or whatever, you can find all that information on Berkshire's Outside as well.
Mm. I guess it's important to note also for people that you don't have to be an expert climber or hiker or anything like that to take in and enjoy some of these things, right? I think there's that impression that, like, well, I'm not really an outdoorsy person, or I can't get out there on the dirt and the trails and whatever. You can start somewhere.
Start somewhere. And we have a lot of very moderate or easy, what I would call easy rated kinds of experiences. And you can learn about that as well as you look at each of these mm-hmm. Assets that are listed on Berkshire's Outside.
Like, for example, I did the ramble up Mount Greylock once.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely not qualified to do the ramble up Mount Greylock once.
Plenty of people are not qualified to do the ramble.
I did it anyway, and I somehow managed to get up and get down.
Yeah.
But the fact is that I probably could have started somewhere else, right?
Yes.
I probably could have started on a different level and then maybe made my way up to that.
Yes. And I think as all of us try our best to make sure that we are getting a good amount of exercise, it can get very routine, and we can get bored with,
yeah.
you know, the same old, same old. So this mm-hmm. is a good way to freshen up the places that you explore, There is also information about clubs and organizations if you would like to be a part of a group who goes out hiking on a regular basis, or if you want to join a team or a league. We have both adult and youth leagues listed
on the website. And you can find that all on berkshiresoutside.org. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Laura Brennan, Executive Director of the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. Like I said, we only scraped the surface this morning, so we'll have to bring you back another time, and we'll focus on a couple of other programs that the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission provides. Really great talking to you this morning. Thanks for so much for being here.
I'd love to come back, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Morning Drive will return again on Monday, where you will see Brian Burkle hosting. And have a great outdoor Berkshire summer weekend, everybody. Take care.